August knelt down in the water and shoved the stone off May's chest. Grabbing May by the shoulders, she pulled her up. Her body made an awful sucking sound as it broke the surface. Her head rolled back, and I saw that her mouth was partially open and her teeth were rimmed with mud. River reeds clung to her hair braids. I looked away. I knew then. May was dead. August knew too, but she put her ear to May's chest, listening. After a minute, though, she drew back and pulled May's head to her breast, and it almost seemed like she wanted May to listen now for her heart. "We've lost her," August said. I started to shiver. I could hear my teeth and my mouth crashing against each other. August and June scooped their arms under May's body and struggled to carry her to the bank. She was saturated, bulging. I grabbed her ankles and tried to steady them. The river, it seemed, had carried away her shoes. When they laid her down on the bank, water gushed from her mouth and nostrils. I thought, this is the way Our Lady came, washing up on the river near Charleston. I thought, look at her fingers, her hands. They are so precious. I imagined how May had rolled the rock from the bank out into the river, then lay down, pulling it on top of her. She had held it tight like a baby and waited for her lungs to fill. I wondered if she had flailed and jerked toward the surface at the last second, or did she go without fighting, embracing the rock, letting it soak up all the pain she felt. I wondered about the creatures that had swum by while she died. June and August, sopping wet, stooped on either side of her, while mosquitoes sang in our ears and the river went on about its business, coiling off into the darkness. I was sure they'd pictured May's last moments too, but I didn't see horror on their faces now, just a heartbroken acceptance. This had been the thing they'd been waiting for half their lives without even realizing it. August tried to close May's eyes with her fingers, but they would only stay half shut. "It's just like April," June said. "Hold the flashlight on May for me," August said to her. The words came out quiet and steady. I could barely hear them over the bamming of my heart. By the small beam of light, August plucked out the tiny green leaves stuck in the plaits in May's hair and tucked each one into her pocket. August and June scraped off every piece of river debris there was from May's skin and clothes, and Rosaline, poor Rosaline, who I realized had lost her new best friend, stood, not making a sound, but with her chin shaking so awful I wanted to reach up and hold it for her. Then a sound I will never forget whooshed out of May's mouth, a long, bubbling sigh, and we all looked at each other, confused, with a second of actual hope, as if the miracle of miracles was about to take place after all. But it was only a pocket of swallowed air that had suddenly been released. It swept across my face, smelling like the river, like a piece of old wood that had gone moldy. I looked down at May's face and felt a wave of nausea. Stumbling off into the trees, I bent over and vomited. Afterward, as I wiped my mouth on the hem of my shirt, I heard a sound break through the darkness, a cry so piercing it made the bottom of my heart drop. Looking back, I saw August framed in the light of June's flashlight, the sound coming from deep in her throat. When it faded away, she dropped her head straight down onto May's soggy chest. I reached for the limb of a small cedar and held tight, as though everything I had was about to slip from my hands.
"So you're an orphan?" the policeman said.
It was that tall, crew-cut Eddie Hazelworth who'd escorted August and me in to see Zack in jail. Rosaline and I sat in the rocking chairs in the parlor while he stood before us holding a small notebook, ready to capture every word. The other policeman was outside searching around the wailing wall for what I couldn't imagine. My chair rocked so fast I was in danger of being pitched out of it. Rosaline's, however, remained motionless, her face closed down.
When we'd first gotten back to the house after finding May, August had met both policemen and then sent me and Rosaline upstairs.
"Go on up there and get dried off," she'd said to me.
I'd peeled off my shoes and rubbed myself with a towel while we stood at the upstairs window.